Well, it's good to be here today, but I wish that Jackson was here. I got called on this morning about 7:15 for this effort, and so I'm sure that you will be generous with me as I struggle with my memory as I work with an old outline. I found one this morning that was 12 years old that I thought, well, I think I can make this work. And so here goes. The Old Testament provides many valuable lessons for us, for anyone who wants to please God. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 11, after the Apostle Paul gives a number of Old Testament examples, he says, "Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the angels have come." One such lesson is the importance of making wise choices in life. I think of a couple Old Testament examples of people that made bad choices, and good people who made bad choices. And so the first one that I want to mention is Lot. Lot made a choice as to where to live that turned out to be his family's detriment. You know, he had made an earlier choice that was a good choice, and that was to be with Abram. As Abram was sent by God to a different part of the world that he had known, Lot followed along, and that was good. But there came a time when the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram, because they had prospered so much, they began to feud with one another. And so Abram wisely said, "Well, let's go our separate ways. Let's split up. And I'll give you the choice," he said to Lot. "If you go this way, I'll go that way, and vice versa." Well, Lot, what he did is he used his eyes. He used his eyes to look which would be the best for him financially. And so he saw that the well-watered plains, and he said, I'll take that. And Abram allowed him to make that choice, and Abram went his way, and Lot went his way. That choice, because it was made strictly upon material things, turned out to be not a very wise choice for Lot. In Genesis 14, we find that he's the victim of kidnapping and war with the unrighteous of that part of the land. You remember how that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom, of course, was a very wicked city. And he kept moving closer and closer. And finally, he found himself in the city of Sodom. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a wicked city. We've all done it. We all live in wicked cities. But this was an extremely wicked city. And he didn't take into consideration how it would be have an effect upon him and his family. He was exposed to filthy conduct of his wicked neighbors. We know this because the Apostle Peter wrote about it in one of his epistles. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, verses 7 and 8, where he speaks of God delivering righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. It says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." He was having to see wickedness all around him. Now, we should be able to identify with that because we see wickedness all around us also. And hopefully, like Lot, we are struggling with that. We should be oppressed with the filthy conduct of many of our neighbors. But he put up with more than he should have put up with. He ended up losing many of his possessions. He ended up losing the life of his wife. And the moral decay of his children became evident later in his life. I can't help but believe that the environment that he chose, strictly upon the wrong motives, was something that he came to regret. Another Old Testament character, the good person, a really righteous person in many ways, in the case of David, who chose to commit adultery and murder. And as a consequence, he suffered the death of an infant son. And the lasting stigma that tarnished an otherwise stellar legacy as the king of Israel. With both Lot and David illustrating the need for making wise choices, let's consider some of the choices that may greatly affect our lives. We're going to make some suggestions for making wise choices. And then later we want to talk about what to do when we find we've made the wrong choice. There are many choices that have the potential of greatly affecting our lives. The most important choice is whether or not to follow Jesus. Choosing to follow Jesus, hopefully, is something that each one of us have already done. If not, you need to consider it today. If you haven't obeyed the Lord, if you haven't chose to follow Jesus, will you become his disciple? Or will you refuse to accept his gracious offer of salvation? Notice what is written in Matthew the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. Jesus speaking here says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus offers this as an invitation to everyone to come and follow him. Take up your cross and follow him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says. Have you made that decision? This is one decision that will affect your life more than any other if you truly make it to accept his invitation. It will impact every aspect of your life. It will affect every decision in your life. As a disciple, you will be concerned with doing his will rather than doing your own thing. Matthew, the 28th chapter. In what we usually refer to as the Great Commission, Jesus said, came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then he follows that up with teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Every decision that you make in life needs to be surrounded by the fact that you have chosen to follow Jesus. For instance, choosing a career. Now, I know most of you long past that in your life. But we have a few in this assembly who are young enough that they still have that in their future. And I urge you, choose a career from a spiritual standpoint. That doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. Doesn't mean you have to have a job that is connected somewhere with the church or anything like that. But take into consideration that whether or not that career is going to be good for you spiritually. Even from a worldly viewpoint, this choice is important. We live in a time of an ever-changing job market. It used to not be that way. It used to be that you took a job and you stayed with that job your whole life. Very few people do that today. But you need to choose a career that is going to help you in serving the Lord. That ought to be the main priority. You know, many times we make a wrong choice, and it might lead to financial hardship. Well, if you make a wrong choice, it might not do that, but it might lead to spiritual bankruptcy. Making the right choice can have a lasting effect upon your future marriage and family, your service to God. Make the choice to honor God first and you will be blessed. We know that because Jesus said in Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 33, when he was talking about material things, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If you make money the primary factor, I'll almost guarantee you that destruction will follow. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For you brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a good paying job. There's nothing wrong with improving so that you make more in this life and even becoming rich. There's nothing wrong with that unless that is your goal. If your goal is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, all these things will be added to you. You may not be as rich as some other people. You probably won't. But you will be blessed greatly. So choosing your career ought to be something that you do with Jesus Christ in mind and how I can best serve him. There are, frankly, some good careers that make it more difficult for you to be a Christian. Consider it. Is that going to make it easier or harder for me to serve the Lord? Another choice that many are going to have to make in the future is the choosing of a mate, of a husband or a wife. This choice will determine to a great extent your degree of happiness. Why choose wisely? I'm going to go to some of the teachings of the wise man Solomon in regard to this. As we look in Proverbs, particularly in Proverbs, the 12th chapter at this point, Proverbs 12 and verse 4 simply says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to the bones. And the same could be true when a woman is choosing a husband. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, a previous verse says. And you need to find a good man if you are looking for a husband. You need to find a good woman if you are looking for a wife. Your happiness emotionally and your happiness spiritually are intertwined and cannot be completely separated. Choosing the right mate will have a permanent bearing on your children and their well-being. If you make an unwise choice, the world will offer you the option of divorce. But if you have chosen to follow Jesus, that's not an option. We've seen too often how that children are not unaffected by the violence of divorce. I've seen it in my own family. Some of my loved ones. So choose a mate with Jesus in mind. How will that person help me go to heaven? That's what's important. Also, making wise choices in choosing your other friends. Friends, the people that you hang around with. Having friends is a blessing. Proverbs, the 17th chapter, in verse 17, says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It's great to have good friends. But the wrong friends can be a curse. Looking back in that 12th chapter of Proverbs again, and verse 26, the wise man says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Of course, that reminds me of the passage that the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, where he said that evil company corrupts good morals. I'm quoting from the old King James there, but you know what it means. So choose your friends wisely. That doesn't mean that you have to stay away from people who are not Christians, but make sure that the friends you have are friends who will not distract you from your main mission, and that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him in all your life. Even the simple decision that sometimes has to be made as to choosing where to live is a choice that you ought to give consideration to, how it's going to affect your spiritual life and your life in Christ. It was this choice that proved to be a mistake in Lot's case for his family. It appeared to be a sound business decision, but it was a poor personal decision. Upon what basis do we choose where to live? Is it based solely on how much house we can afford? Or is it chosen based only on what the weather will be like? Or whether it's in a location close to schools or close to work? Do we consider whether it will help or hinder our service to God and his church? I recall when I was preaching in Davenport, Iowa, there was no church that I would recommend to anyone that was close to Davenport. that was any closer than an hour and a half away. And I got a telephone call one day from a Christian that was moving from the Chicago area or was considering taking a job which would require him to move into Iowa that would put him about an hour and a half away from any church that he would be comfortable with, including the one where I was working at the time in Davenport. And of course, we would have loved to have him come be part of our congregation. I told him that, but I advised him not to do it. I said, don't do it. He had a young family. He was going to be under pressure with his new job. And he had a choice. And I suggested he not take that choice. He took my advice and remained faithful to the Lord in the Chicago area. I want to make some suggestions for making wise choices. First of all, ask God for wisdom. He promises to give wisdom to those who ask him in faith. We read that in James, the first chapter, verses 5 through 8, where he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Wisdom requires diligence. Back in that Proverbs, the 12th chapter, I'll tell you that 12th chapter is full of wisdom. But anyway, in Proverbs, the 12th chapter, in verse 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So it's good to have many counselors. In fact, in the 11th chapter in verse 14, it actually says that. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So there's safety in having many counselors. So ask other people for advice. It's foolish not to heed the wisdom of others. There are two great sources for counsel. Of course, the Bible is the first and foremost. But more mature Christians don't hesitate to ask them what they would do. Now, be careful. Sometimes older people don't give the right advice. Seek out those that you trust that have proven in their lives to have made the right choices in life, and ask them for advice. And then once you make a choice, commit your choices to the Lord. Trusting you have made choices pleasing to him, put your choices into his hands. In the 37th Psalm, verses 5 and 6 of that Psalm, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Make your choices with the understanding that it is if the Lord wills. This is an important concept. Again, we appeal to the writings of James on this. In James, the 4th chapter, verses 13 to 15, he says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So make your choices and then depend upon the Lord and tell him, your will, not my will, be done. That's what Jesus did. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, that's what we need to do also. One might even ask the Lord, if the choice that I'm about to make is a bad one, frustrate it. Make it not happen. That sometimes might be hard to do when you are about to make a decision that you think is going to really make your life more pleasant. But ask the Lord, honestly, if this isn't your will, frustrate it. Stop it. In the few minutes that I have left, I want to refer to, I indicated that I was going to talk about responding to wrong choices. What to do when we've made a wrong choice. First of all, learn from the mistakes of others. Do what Lot did. He heeded the Lord and he fled. He fled from that wicked city. Heed the word of the Lord, word of God. Do what is right without reservation. Remember Lot's wife. She hesitated. She looked back. And she serves as a reminder to us to this day. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Do what Peter did. Peter had a fault, as we all do. And Peter sinned grievously when he denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus was being tried. But he repented and he served. Repent if any sin, if sin is involved. As when Peter denied Jesus. Serve the Lord with the time that you have left in life. The wrong thing to do when you've made wrong choices is to remain in the choice you've made because of pride or any other reason. Don't feel sorry for yourself over your guilt or loss. Repent. May the examples of men like Lot and David teach us the importance of making wise choices. And may the repentance of these men who did terrible things in their life but came to their senses, may they be an example to us also. And let us turn back from those things which we, those choices that we have made that are wrong. As we said at the beginning, the first and most important choice is to decide to become a disciple of Jesus. If there are those in this assembly today who have not made that choice but are ready to make that choice, we're ready to help you in making that choice. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's first and foremost, is to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But if you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, what does that require of you? Well, it requires you to act. Faith without works is dead. And so you need to act upon that faith. Jesus asks you not only to believe in him, but to obey him. He commanded his disciples, as we read earlier, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He went on to say that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you believe in Jesus and are willing to repent of your sins and confess that faith that you have in Jesus Christ, then you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you can then arise to walk in newness of life. If we can help you in that way, or if there's any other spiritual need that you might have that we can pray with you about or study with you about, we invite you to make that desire known by coming forward while together we stand and while we sing.